Hey, pull up a chair. It's Hacks on Tap with David Axelrod and Mike Murphy.
On behalf of my mother and everyone who has ever set out on their own unlikely journey, on behalf of Americans like the people I grew up with, people who work hard, chase their dreams, and look out for one another, on behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
So there you go, guys. The suspense is over. She has accepted the nomination.
Yeah, she made it.
Yeah.
It was a close call. That roll call was nip and tuck all the way. Didn't know what would happen.
Time. Yeah.
So, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think she stuck this landing about as well as she possibly could have. And I think the convention, for all of the little hiccups that you'd expect in a convention that basically had to be turned around in 3 weeks, was really, really well conceived in terms of symbolism, in terms of messaging. I mean, I think this went about as well as you could possibly have hoped. Anybody want to jump in here?
I was getting a little worried. First of all, I fundamentally agree. I think they had a good convention. It had a few bumps, but fundamentally, excellent job by the convention team and Stephanie and everybody. I kept thinking, you know, all right, how's this going to play in Livonia, so to speak, West Wayne County? And by night three, I was feeling like it's no surprise the Democrats get all their votes out of 477 counties in America out of 3,100. Because I was feeling there's this kind of careful balance of how much they go into the lefty stuff and the identity stuff. And I was feeling like they were, I liked the kids from the football team. I wanted more of that. But all that stuff is window dressing, and there were some real highlights. What counted was her speech. And she did it. And it was a strategic speech. I don't think it'll go down in the annals of great oratory. But this convention was about defining her. And that, I thought, boiled down to really two things. Her husband's speech, which I thought was a home run as far as filling in new information. God, she's a human. She's got a life. What animates her? And her speech about what she believes. It was strategic. It was a leap for the center. They're trying to dump all the old baggage, which is smart. They played national security strong. That is not her background. I mean, part of the, as a cynical political consultant, the stuff that made me laugh was the, you know, she negotiated 118 treaties. Anything you like, she did it. But sending that signal of toughness was brilliant. So I give the speech a strategic A. And I think she is defined in a place now where this race has gone from Democrat wipeout to real race where she even, I think, has a better set of ingredients to win in front of her than Trump does. And of course, he's crazy, which is helping her and hurting him.
I will say that there are two things that Mike said that I totally wildly agree with is that this will probably get me excommunicated from some church somewhere, but
that happened
not
long
another
ago,
one.
My friend. I don't think you're in danger of that.
Okay,
I think
okay.
That happened a long time ago.
From the Church of the Poison Mind. Look, I don't have that much use for Oprah at this point. And as part of the, I thought her speech, she's a great performer.
You're not getting a car, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Let's take a minute to memorialize the sparkling journalistic career.
I may be killed for that. She's great. And I like anything that steps outside of politics and is someone who's above and beyond politics. But, you know, that's the thing that Mike was saying. And I was sitting there worried all night that Beyonce was going to show up last night. And I love Beyonce. But like, I was like, do not let Beyonce overshadow Kamala Harris. Do not make another Hollywood person rolling in here. And I was so glad when no special guest showed up. And the program last night was not that great, except because it highlighted her and it made sure they got her on in primetime. The first one of the week where someone who Tim Walz spoke as late as Joe Biden did. Like, They got her on in the 10 o'clock hour. They got her off not that long after 11 o'clock Eastern, maximum audience.
Yeah.
And I thought that the other thing that Mike said, I understand that the national security is not her background, but I thought not only was she, did she sound tough and hawkish, she sounded comfortable in that space. And
absolutely.
The most important word of the entire speech to me, lethal. I mean, there was a lot of subtle work done in that speech to reinforce her security credentials and to assert toughness. And the notion of, and the left was freaking out about this online, saying we'll have the most lethal army and the most lethal armed forces in the world. That was a projection of a thing that was really important. And she seemed very comfortable. She didn't seem awkward. She didn't look like Mike Dukakis in the tank talking about that stuff. It came out sounding authentic from her. And I thought that was super important. I thought the speech last night, her speech was strategically, you know,
brilliant.
You're right. It was brilliant. Not great oratory, not Barack
frankly,
Obama.
Who cares about that?
Who cares?
If they get the strategy right. Yeah.
100%.
But, you know, let me just, I agree with everything that you guys said, and it wasn't just on the commander in chief stuff, but the border and other things. She did a lot of good work in this speech, but, you know, there are, the biggest thing is the point you guys are making about strength. I mean, right. She looked like a president up there. She sounded like a president up there. She looked strong.
Fierce.
And that was Trump's big advantage over Biden.
Yeah, that's the subversion of this thing. They're taking strength. Even the dark cloak. She didn't do the stupid red suit. It was all very sober and grown up and time to get the adults back in charge. And it's a brilliant flip on Trump because now he's the weak old man.
Yes, exactly.
And she's the dynamic future, which is they're turning her into the change candidate.
Yes.
And they're getting away with it.
That's been true from the beginning. You know, this is the advantage of being, there are a lot of disadvantages to being vice president because you get marginalized and, you know, but the advantage is people don't really know you. And, you're known, but you're not known. And she had a chance this week and the convention had a chance to paint a portrait of her that was much fuller than people knew and much different than people suspected. And it wasn't just her speech. I mean, when you look back on this convention and you look at the Obama speeches, for example, they painted her story into the fabric of the American story in a very, very powerful way. And the whole week they've painted Trump out of that story and out of those values. So she was mainstream. He was extreme. She was strong. He was as she described. He is as she described him last night, an unserious person whose election could have serious consequences, dangerous consequences. I mean, I really, yes. I mean, I give them some grace for whatever, you know, you think was lacking here or whatever you think was too much of one thing or too much, because you had the melding of two campaigns and two conventions over a short period of time. A lot of petitioners at the table, probably, you know.
Oh God, unlimited. Yeah.
And you know, we've given her props in advance, and I think she deserves them now. Stephanie Cutter did a magnificent job, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to tell a funny Cutter story during the convention. So I get a call from my wife from Hollywood. I'm driving across Iowa listening to this thing. And she says, all right, at Pilates, I just saw the head of huge music company. Beyonce, he says, is going to be there, Beyonce. And then somebody else calls me, it's Taylor. And so I'm like rolling my eyes because I'm thinking like, don't overshadow her, you know, Pink is perfect. But I can't resist thinking about it. And I said, so I text Cutter. And I say, I know you're busy, but if you do have Taylor Swift popping through the floorboards as the encore song, Steal the Republican, Proud to Be American, do a much better version of it and blow the place away. And she goes, we don't have a special musical guest. This goddamn thing has taken a life of its own.
No, because TMZ or somebody reported
it. Listen,
I'm sitting on the CNN set, and there are people who are insisting that
Beyonce's
going to
be out
she's
here.
Coming, and I'm like,
No, Romney had to put out a statement. No, I'm cutting my lawn.
Dudes, I'm telling you, I've talked to the organizers. There's no one coming. It was Michael Jordan. It was her. It's like Taylor Swift.
And at some point yesterday.
No, guys, she's the star of the show.
Exactly.
Okay? She's the star of the show.
At some point yesterday, there was a rumor on social media that George Bush.
Yes, I saw that too.
He had to put out a thing too.
This is how fucking crazy all this got.
I tried to float the Pope and nobody was buying. But
yeah, anyway, I offered to bring my guitar when Cutter texted me no. I said, all right, I'll do that.
Another act of Republican subversion there.
Then I think her battery died. Yeah.
Okay, let's take a break right here for a word from our sponsor and we'll be right back.
All right, everybody, we've learned one lesson here in American politics in the last few weeks. Don't screw around with cat people. Right, JD? Learned your lesson? Well, I'm here to take the positive side of the whole cat thing and talk to you about cat food. We all know cat food has been the same forever. It's time for cat food to move into the 21st century. Hallelujah to that. It's time to make kibbles a thing of the past. Small's cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you would find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why veterinarians.org rates Small's 10 out of 10 for ingredient quality. And you want Mr. Fluffy to have quality ingredients. That's a good way to take care of your animal. Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. A few short years later, they've served millions of meals to cats across the U.S. Now, at this point, you may be wondering, why can't I just feed my cat kibble? Believe it or not, your cute kitty descended from a ferocious desert cat who hunted live prey for food. And your cat isn't any different. They still need fresh, protein-packed meals to be at their best. So after making the switch to Smalls, get this, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. So do Mr. Yo-Yo a big favor. Feed them Smalls. The team at Smalls is so confident about this that your cat will love their product. You can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat the food. So you get the Smalls, you give it to Mr. Fluffy, no eat, no pay. You get your money back. So here's the offer, and it's incredible. Now is the time to make the switch to Smalls. So go to smalls.com/hacks and use promo code HACKS at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use our code HACKS because we're in with the cat people. Remember, with our code HACKS, 50% off your first order. One last time, promo code HACKS for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping, plus if the cat don't eat it, you don't pay for it.
Not to gild the lily on Stephanie Cutter, but just you guys having done conventions from the inside know this. She spent months building a convention for Joe Biden pre-debate. Then there was Joe Biden post-debate when a lot of people that Joe Biden wanted, that originally had been scheduled to go to the convention, Joe Biden no longer wanted at the convention because they weren't, they had turned against him or they were being disloyal.
Right,
so they remake the convention in the month after the debate, still assuming that Biden would be at the center of the convention, but a different kind of convention. And then the switch flipped again.
Incredibly hard.
The woman has built three conventions in the last year. And so I just wish Tim Walz, given how good that speech was, I just wish it hadn't been at midnight. You know, like just for the sake of reaching more people. That's not a shot at Stephanie. But
the only sad thing is they had to cancel the All Walkers drumline thing she had set up for the president. But that would have blown the roof off the place.
That's the problem with a convention where there are too many people at the table who want to, serve their political needs by getting and we talked about this last time, every Huey, Dewey, and Louie up on the platform.
Half
to
of
get
whom
their
at
time.
Least could have been cut, but I don't think that was her. I don't think she had the power to cut them. You know, what do you mean?
No, she didn't. No, she did not. Now, listen, I'm Cutter through and through, so I'm not, and 100%. I'm happy that she's now going to be, advising on message in the campaign, because what the other thing about this convention is, like, the flags, the USA chants. And the description of an America, listen, guys, let me just add this as part of this. You know, last night there was this flag waving flurry, and I can't remember what triggered it. And there was young Gus Walls with his father, and but this was the day after his speech.
Right, I know where you're going on this.
Listen, I knew immediately when I saw this young man, and he moved me like everyone else, that, you know, he probably has some challenges, and just as my own child does, and that he's struggled with in life. And those became, you know, these what I think the PC word that's used is neurodiversity issue. But he has, you know, what we used to call developmental disabilities or intellectual differences. And the brutality online by some of these, you know, Ann Coulter and others ridiculing this young man for displaying his love for his dad was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. So fast forward to the next night, and there he is with his dad, surrounded by these flags. And to me, the America that Kamala Harris and the convention described was a big, generous, embracing America that had room for everybody, that has room for everybody, including a young man like Gus or like my daughter Lauren. And I think in some ways the symbols were the same, but the message was different and was much more expansive and positive and optimistic.
Well, that's the whole key. If they have Ted Lasso versus Voldemort and Trump wants to be Voldemort, it's gold for them. It's the rocket fuel, because they need a huge crowbar thematically to not make this fire the Biden team part two. But being VP, she's already 100 yards away from Biden. Her image was, you know, lightweight, not effective VP. That's not a great image.
Which every VP gets.
Right. She had, in my view, in the first year particularly, a worse version. Yeah. And then she had the legacy of a crappy campaign. And, you know, what the hacks are still saying is they marvel at the great convention. It's, can she keep it together? We remember last time. And every sign she's showing us is she can. But anyway, that long leash, the fact that she wasn't seen as a central player in the administration, has given her, one, the escape key. And now, because she's new and different and young and generational, not Joe Biden, saying, fire the Harris, you know, the Harris team.
This was a turn the page.
No, she's slipping the straitjacket, yeah. Houdini style here. Yeah. She has changed now in a change election. So if they can sustain this through the second look of September, I do worry they're too cocky. But fundamentally, they got all the
I don't think they're cocky, brother. I got to tell
you. No, not the management. I know that. I think that convention was such a sugar bomb thing. But it's unavoidable.
Go ahead, John.
To go back to this optimism thing, you know, we got Tim Walz instead of Josh Shapiro. And Tim Walz has been fantastic and otherworldly, that someone who's
better.
He's performed on the big stage in a way that you could never expect anybody who'd never been on stage that big before. But the one thing that I miss from Josh Shapiro rhetorically, which has been his constant framing of Donald Trump, when he says, stop shit-talking America.
Yeah.
You know, Donald Trump constantly shit talks America. And if you heard at the end of Harris's speech last night, when she talked about in this very end, she had this emphatic thing of, you know, about what it means to be an American, you know, to your point about positivity, this is the difference, right? She's not just, you know, she's not just young while he's old. She's not just sane while he's crazy. She's not just cognitively all there while he's declining. He says he is a just inveterate shit talker of the country. It's like just the and she has the ability to embrace that Reaganite optimism, that Obamaite optimism. That is, you know, I don't know. Maybe I know a lot of the rules in politics have changed and we're all old and shit. But like, I still don't think that even though there's a lot of anxiety in the country, I don't think that shit talking the country constantly, shitting on the Olympics, that's not the way you win. It's not.
Yeah. If you, on election day, you're not seen as on the side of America, you know,
going
to be a short night.
No, she, I mean, the contrast with Trump is so strong. And honestly, look, my sense is that and it might be a somewhat informed sense, the the portions of the speech in the middle where she took direct aim at Trump were probably the least impactful parts of the speech.
We've heard it all before.
Yeah, well, we talked about this last week. It's built in. Yeah.
The implicit contrast of someone who is future-oriented and suffused in middle-class values and appreciates what this country is and represents what this country is and has this optimistic view of the future, while Trump is grinding and, you know, which he was doing all night long.
Yeah, we have some sound on that we should get to, but I just want to hallelujah that. They and I think they know this, but it's so tempting to trash Trump. It's the easy applause. But if she's the change vibes candidate, they use a horrible new term that I hope goes away soon, then stick with that. Be the sunshine, you know? Don't play the other game. Commit.
It's going to be interesting in the debate to see how do you strike that balance in the debate with Voldemort standing right next to you.
You laugh at him. That's the thing. He is becoming an object of ridicule now. And nobody ever laughs at Superman, which means he's no longer Superman. And run with that.
The implicit contrast with Trump in her speech last night, Harris's speech, were striking. But the person who really did that better than anybody, and it actually reminded me of her husband some years ago, Michelle Obama, when she did that riff about, you know, that Kamala Harris, like all of us, don't have the expectations of the affirmative action of generational wealth. And, you know, that was a classic, and David Axelrod, should be memorable to you too, because it was Michelle Obama's version of taking down Donald Trump without mentioning him in the way that Barack Obama took down the Clintons without mentioning them at the JJ in 2007. It's like that the critique, she had not mentioned Trump's name, but she had a five stanza riff where she basically took shots at Trump that were clearly at Trump, identifiably, but never had to invoke the name Donald Trump. And again, it recalled to mind your former candidate doing that to all of Clintonite politics back in the fall of 2007.
All right, we're going to leave for a minute to pay the power bill, and then we'll be right back. Hey, Hackaroos, Murphy here. As you know, here at Hacks on Tap, we love our sponsors. And I have to fess up. We're basically a shrine to the Helix mattress. I mean, when we do these ads, the sponsors often, let's just say some of the products fall off a truck, Chicago style. And Axe was the first to get a Helix mattress. And he turned into a fanatic for it. I mean, literally, I have to hood him like a falcon to get him to shut up about the thing. He loves it. Talked me into getting one because we did a new mattress for our daughter's room. She loves hers. So we dig the Helix mattress. And I think the reason we do is it is a smart mattress. As a political strategist, I'll even say it is a strategic mattress because everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix, a company that understands that, has several different mattress models to choose from, each one designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side like me. Not only is the mattress, you know, one of the most comfortable I've ever seen, but setup is fast and easy. You know how it's like a sci-fi movie. They come in a box that's not that big, delivered right to your door. You don't have to lug the thing anywhere, which, believe me, in the mattress buying racket is a significant advantage. And it's delivered for free. They don't gouge you of shipping cost like when you go to the mattress store and they say, okay, that's the special price. Oh, by the way, $200 to take it to your house. They deliver it for free in that box. You open it up and the thing expands like the classic Blob movie. And you got a mattress. Now, they all come with a 10 to 15 year warranty. Yeah, you heard that right. 10 to 15 years. It all depends on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, and because I'm in politics, you probably shouldn't, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And by the way, if you're getting up there like I am, and Axe, and even Heilman, and your spine needs a little extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils for support in the base with premium foam layers for comfort on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support. And guess what? Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/hacks. That's helixsleep.com/hacks. This is their best offer yet. Won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
First of all, let's just to level set, as you started to do before, Mike, as I sit here today, I have no reason to believe that this isn't still the race we know, which is that it's very, very close in the states that you need to win in order to be the nominee of the party, these battleground states. And it's going to be a few days before we see if anything has changed as a result of this. I mean, they laid a great foundation here, but we just... But we just don't know. My point before was, first of all, what is the way forward for Trump? They do want to paint her as the incumbent, him as change. They took a huge hit this week, and I think you're right. The truth is, nobody really believes that Kamala Harris has been the policymaker in the Biden administration. And you'll notice the only place where she connected herself to Biden by name on policy was on Gaza, and basically gave him the responsibility for that one.
Yeah, he's working on that. I got to go lead a crowd in a couple of chants. I think, here's what they're thinking. I mean, one, they're all killing each other because now Corey Lewandowski's back, Kellyanne Conway's sneaking around. You know, it's Stalingrad inside the campaign. I wouldn't be surprised to see La Civita think, you know what, time for me to run.
Well, or Trump to fire him, which is what Trump normally does in the summer of a general election.
He got fired, and okay, there goes the chancellor. Anyway, there's a lot of that going on. But to the extent they're trying to figure out what's up, half of them think fire Kamala for Biden inflation. Basically, do the search and replace on the campaign they had before. And I think she's now full of Teflon as the generational change candidate. So I think that's going to be hard as hell to prevail with. It can hurt.
All right.
But
so what's plan B?
Plan B is, all right, what do you get? Don't get fooled again. It's the same crowd. You know, what's her plan? We see the fluff. We see the celebrity. They roll out that old thing, which I never really liked against Obama. But they think internally it worked for a while. And they pivot to Kamala has a plan. Kamala's left-wing plan. Every time she's been in office, the rhetoric has been good and the results have been hard left. In the Willie Horton 2.0 stuff, the failure on the border, she's a PR candidate. It's all special effects. And they just pound away on that and try to engage ideologically as much as they can.
You hear that. I mean, you hear some of those talking points. And, you know, it is kind of hilarious to hear them say, well, we want to hear substance. Yeah. Like, you know,
like Trump is there with the economic model. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. But they got something. She has historically been a progressive who moved to the right, and she did more of that. That's not untrue.
But that is not what people don't know her, and the Harris campaign has moved quickly to fill in the blanks in a way that is really, really helpful. I mean, she could not be more mainstream.
Yeah, and that's what the speech was all about. They're trying to preempt that attack, but there will be $250 million of San Francisco left-wing stuff in the 19 campaign, and they have video, and it's something.
But look, it's also the case that for people who, you know, for people who don't know that much about her, I totally agree. She's vulnerable on those left wing positions she took in 2019. She's vulnerable. She's primarily, in fact, her resume is primarily that of a prosecutor. It is hard to turn, even if you're a relatively liberal prosecutor, you're a district attorney and an attorney general. You've got a long record of putting people in jail. That's a little bit of Teflon that you carry with you.
Right. And they've been hammering that, trying to get in front of it.
But I just want to say one other thing to go back to David, your point about level setting, just about Trump. I've been saying on our last episode and other places, you know, how is he going to win if he can't drive anything like a consistent message? And given how he has flailed and all his, he's had maybe the worst 5 weeks of his entire time in public life in terms of his just batshit craziness and his inability to keep a coherent thought. But I will say, last night I ran into your old friend, Patrick Gaspard, and when I asked Patrick what he was worried about, he said, I'm worried about the fact that Donald Trump's, essentially, I'm paraphrasing, so I'm worried about the fact that Donald Trump's had the worst 5 weeks of his political career and his favorable numbers have gone up. His numbers haven't moved.
That's wrong. There may be some marginal gain, maybe in his approval rate. His favorable number is terrible. He's 22 points underwater. Yes. When you ask, what do you think about this human being? People do not like him.
All his energy is economic cure, and that's melting away as it becomes a change election, I believe.
I simply meant to say that his numbers had not. I understand people don't like him, and I think Patrick understands that too. I'm just saying his numbers hadn't. After all of that, he had not eroded it further, given how fucking crazy he's been for the last 5 weeks. A normal candidate, you'd see them sag even more. He hasn't. He just doesn't move.
A lot of elasticity.
That's the point.
In this electorate, there is not a lot of elasticity. Basically, you've got a very divided country. There is a small number of voters who are up for grabs. And so, you know, it's going to be this way from now to the end. She has driven him batshit crazy, and he keeps reminding people, you know, before the attitude among a bunch of folks who were voting for him, particularly among these swing voters, was, well, he's an asshole, but at least he knows how to run a government, or he knows how to run the economy, or whatever. But now the asshole quotient is just growing because he can't help himself.
Right.
And I think that is a real yes.
There's another aspect of this, though, and I think the D's miss it, which is, why is Trump's favorable crappy, but his ballot is hanging in there? There's a big chunk of ballot that's not about her, not about him. It's people who think, we've had it with the Democrats. They can't run the economy. They covered up an old guy in the White House. They want to defend the cops everywhere. They've run every big city in America into the ground. They want to raise my middle class taxes. They love the welfare state. They are way too woke. That's the ballot energy that is stronger than the Trump energy on the personality of what a Donald is. And that's going to be part of how they come at her. She's part of that crowd you want to get rid of that screwed everything up.
And yeah,
that's
I agree.
What she did is trying to get her own identity, but she's got to get some of that chorus to pipe down a little.
Let me just say one thing about this. Presidential politics, and you guys, you've written about it at a high level. You've participated at it. At a high level, there will be the TV wars, and yes, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars spent to paint the picture that you suggest, Mike. There'll be hundreds of millions of dollars to counter that, and that's why nothing really has moved against her, despite the fact that they've run a shit ton of commercials about that already, and she's done her prosecutor or AG stuff.
It's locked
tough
in
on the border,
50-50.
And yeah. Now I was like winding up for a big point, and I can't remember.
Well, I'll make it for you because we're both thinking the same thing. As long as she manages her brand well every day with what and how the debate goes, she can overwhelm all that because it's a draw.
Hey, I got to go on another podcast in a while. Can you come on with me and keep reminding me what I was thinking when I stopped? I'm really tired. My point is, presidential politics, especially at this point in a campaign, is so much governed by the moment-to-moment behavior of candidates, which people see on constantly. I mean, they're under and people default to what they see in real life. Even when they're being bombarded with ads, she looks nothing like the caricature that they're trying to paint
of her. And that'll break through in the end if they run the most important thing, earn media well. Hey, should we listen to Trump on Fox for a minute just to give him a little equal time?
Well, John has a point he wants to make.
It's a very quick point, which is to say, if you think about, he's at his worst right now. She's on a roll. So, like, we have 70-whatever days left. What's going to change that? You know, if it's a tie race, she loses. She's got to get some, you know, because of the Electoral College situation and because Trump always does better than his polling shows. So what's going to change it? What's going to stop her momentum?
Well, I think she's going to pull ahead in the national polling.
Right, but there's only three things that can happen now, right? One is Trump performs incredibly well. Not likely. The other is she makes a mistake. And the third is some external event. happens. But there's no reason her momentum doesn't continue. And the most likely of those things, I mean, you can't control for external events, but the way more likely thing is it within her control. Because if she continues to perform well, Trump shows no sign of being able to drive this to break her momentum, right? So it's kind of like, as long as she can, to your point,
well, no, Mike, she's winning. Every tie day is momentum for her with Trump.
Boy, boys, that debate looms so large.
So large.
Yeah, September 10th.
Okay, gentlemen, we will be back in a minute, but we have to pay a few bills.
Folks, it's August and sunny days are here. Fuel up for them with Factors. No prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals. Axe, I'm talking to you. He's been on a diet. He's looking great. He's meeting those goals, but keep them up. How do you do it? Well, you do it with the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factors, fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. God, even I could do that. So no matter how busy you are, you always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Thank nutritionist Mike. So what are you waiting for? Now, you're probably thinking, oh, I don't know what they're going to send me. I won't like it. They have 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. You're always going to have new flavors to explore. Crush those wellness goals this month with these dietitian-approved meals and ingredients you can trust. Delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon, and keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. No shopping, prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories. Maximize that protein intake, avoid meat if you wish, or simply eat well-balanced. So head right over to factormeals.com/hacks50. Now, normally these offers are just hacks. This is hacks50. Factormeals.com/hacks50 and use that code hacks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code hacks50 at factormeals.com/hacks50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Equal time for Trump. Let's talk about, I want to get to that stuff just so we could hear it. The insanity of Trump post.
He called into Fox 4 minutes after she was finished. And even the Fox people, rumors are my friend Brett Baer was seen having a couple of stiff drinks afterward. Now, Brett, send me your bar tab. I understand what you went through. Let's listen to Trump calling in. And the beeps you hear are forensic hack on tap experts think is Trump jabbing at his phone for some reason. We're not trying to launch a bomb or, you know, a missile or something. And by the way, if you live in a northern plain state, listen, there's a Canadian invasion coming, apparently, according to the former president.
It was a lot of complaining. She didn't talk about China. She didn't talk about fracking. She didn't talk about crime. She didn't talk about 70% of our people are living in poverty. She didn't talk about housing, really. The trade deficit, she didn't talk about. Child trafficking that she's allowed to happen because she was the border czar and she presided over the weakest border in the history of our country. It's an invasion. I was there today, as you know, Brett. It's an invasion of our country taking place at our border, our southern border. It's a total invasion. And now it's starting at our northern border also, through Canada. And she didn't talk about any of that because she talks, but she doesn't do. It's no action. But, you know, look, other than that, it was a nice-looking room.
Okay, yeah. That's the highly poll driven and strategic response.
You can appreciate why he would feel so let down by the speech because of the masterpiece that he delivered in Milwaukee, which was the portrait of issue specific rhetoric, you know.
I just want to share some of the highlights of his Truth Social feed last night. First, there was "Where's Hunter" in the middle of her speech. Then there was Then there was "Walls was an assistant coach, not a coach." She blamed, at one point she said that Harris had caused the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas. "Is she talking about me?" was one of my favorite things in there. We're talking about projection and confession. It just goes on and on. It's an amazing spree of things that he wrote here. And then he's like, okay, Truth Social's not getting me what I need. I gotta get on the phone with some of these anchors and make an ass of myself there. Incredible.
Poor Bannon wasn't even answering the phone last night. Oh, Christ, I can't take it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how many calls he gets where he's
at. Well, no, there are ways to get cell phones there.
He probably traded cigarettes for that. Anyway, so we are going to, Robert Kennedy Jr., his grand journey ends, and apparently with an endorsement of Trump in Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is that lockdown that he's going to do?
I think so, okay. Yeah.
Good.
I think
put all the kooky, crazy stuff in one basket. I like it.
Well, here's the question I have for you guys, and maybe we touched on this the other day, but there are implications of this. You know, there are two theories. One is Trump has a high ceiling and a low floor, and the fewer candidates you have in there, the better it is for Harris. The other theory is the only people Bobby Kennedy Jr. has left after Harris got in the race are the crazy anti-vax conspiracy theory people, and that vote is likely to flow to Trump. I guess the third question is, does standing with a nutball like Robert Kennedy Jr. actually drive people more away from Trump? So that's my question to you big geniuses. What do you think?
Well, one, I'm reminded of when they gave Stalin a letter from the Pope saying, stop killing everybody. And he said, how many tanks does the Pope have? And crumpled it up. I don't think Kennedy delivers much. I don't think he can deliver a pizza, let alone significant votes. But two, make it clear thematically. Put all the nuts in one basket. So I don't think it's a big deal.
Was that a Pizzagate reference? Anyway, go ahead.
I know for a fact he can deliver a pizza. He showed up in my apartment a few nights ago with a pizza. Got the order wrong because the brain worm.
Yeah, that wasn't pepperoni on the top, too. That was bear.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, I'm afraid he's going to be, I told you I'm afraid he's going to be head of the National Park Service just so he can get all the bears he can eat. Anyway, go ahead.
I think it all kind of cancels itself out, but I would be just a little worried because I do think in that second camp, Axe, I don't know what happens to the crazy anti-vax people, but it's clear that his presence in the race was helping her. If you look at all the polling, she was performing better in every single battleground state poll when his name was on the ballot. So,
which is a reversal from Biden.
I'm not, if I'm the Harris campaign, I'm not psyched about that. Probably isn't much, doesn't move much, but this is going to be a close race. And, on the basis of available data, it would have been better for him to stay in the race for
Murphy. We got to go, so give us a benediction.
I don't remember enough Latin from my Jesuit education.
In nomine Patri, in nomine Patri, Spiritus Sancti. I forget. Anyway.
Yeah. Go in peace.
Yes. Zygazunt, you guys.
I'll be the same. May you get to heaven before the devil knows you're dead. There you go. I'll finish up with the Irish one. Okay, we're wrapping up. I think it is true, gentlemen, right, that we are not on next week because we're doing this special episode here. But then we will be back with plenty to talk about.
Oh, boy, there will be.
No mailbag today either. We didn't have time. But send us some fresh questions for when we're back after next week, hacksontap@gmail.com, hacksontap@gmail.com, or our magic number where you can leave a live voicemail, keep it short, or you can even do voicemail on your phone and email us your audio question. The number is
773-389-4471. I'll repeat it because who can remember that? 773-389-4471.
Still my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. He does ringtones also.
After all my jokes, what a terrific city Chicago is.
Yeah, man.
It's the best.
I'm so honestly, give me 10 seconds here. I love this city, man. This is my town, and I'm so proud that it showed so well in this week. And I apologize to all the people who've never been here before who came for the convention, who I told that we have this weather 365 days a year. That isn't true, but it's still a great city, and I hope you all come back.
They know you're in politics, so they didn't trust you. You're okay. You're in the clear.
I'll see you guys next time.
All righty. Off we go. Thanks.
Later, Gators.
Bye.